Why trust the parts pros at Advance Auto? Because if there's one thing they know, it's parts.
Thanks for calling Advance Auto Parts Batteries. Amber, how can I help?
Amber, how are you? I'm changing my oil and just want the best you got.
Okay. You want to go with Castrol Full Synthetic.
Really?
It's going to keep your engine running.
Wow, you really know everything. White sneakers after Labor Day, yay or nay?
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Now get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $27.99. While supplies last, see store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cinema Savants.
Laugh for while you can, monkey boy.
With your host,
Andrew.
No!
Todd Vandenberg.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
And Rob Steele.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
We're on a mission from God.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Your weekly dose of movie news.
Here you can talk to fish.
Movie reviews.
What if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
And the occasional TV news or rumor.
What do you want me to do, dress in drag and do the hula?
And that's when I shot him, Your Honor.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you shoot him, you'll just make him mad.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
And here we go.
Yikes! And away!
Oh my God, the quarterback is toast!
Everyone sign? Yes. Good. On we go.
Welcome to another partly spectacular episode of Cinema Savants. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Oopla the Mock. Yes, I get that reference. Welcome to... Did you get that reference? I'm curious. Do you remember Oopla?
Oopla. It's familiar, but I can't. It's just the
Oopla the
pronouncement.
Mock hung out with Princess Ariel and Thundar the Barbarian.
Oh my God, Ookla!
That was our big find. This I found Thundar the Barbarian on DVD, and I've been exposing my youngest child to Thundar, and she thinks it's hilarious. As do I, looking back on it.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Thundar, it's an animated series that came out in 1980, and has to do with the post-apocalypse thing, but it's not something we did to ourselves. It's a rogue planet ran between the Earth and the moon, shattering the moon and screwing the planet. But the thing that amuses us both about this, when it says this during the opening credits, is that it happened in 1994, which is the year my oldest daughter was born. So we're blaming her for the catastrophe that happened in the Thundar universe. And that seems to work just fine for us. How's your week going, Todd?
My work is going swimmingly, although I did not rediscover Thundar, so not quite as good as yours, I must say.
Well, it gets better than that. I actually saw a UFO this week. Standing outside on my porch, and the sky was perfectly clear except for one plane off in the distance, leaving a chemtrail like it does. And then all of a sudden, an extraordinarily bright light fell out of that plane, dropped about 2 inches, and then disappeared. Now, to everyone who says, "May, Rob, it's not a UFO, you're crazy." One, yes, I am absolutely that you are correct on that one. And two, it was flying, it was in the sky, thus it was flying. I have no idea what it was, therefore it was unidentified. And by definition, it's a noun, therefore an object. So it is an unidentified flying object. At no point did I say it was extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
That goes along with, I loved doing this to people who were, complaining that there's no such thing as UFOs. And then I throw something at them and say, all right, what was that? I don't know. Well, it flew at you. It was an object. And you don't know what
exactly.
It was. That was a UFO right there, and I just hit you in the face with it. And they usually chased me with sticks after that. But,
it's the definition of a UFO.
Some movie stuff? Exactly.
Sure.
Hello.
Let's get to some movie stuff.
Let's go ahead and
stuff.
get the yes-no kind of stuff out of the way. This week, we have a big yes that I am really looking forward to. this Tuesday, coming out on digital download, because coming out on DVD would be too easy. I don't know why they don't do it at the same time, but Justice League Dark, which is animated. You know what? Don't care. DC does an excellent job of their animated movies. Justice League Dark is coming out this Tuesday with Matt Ryan as Constantine, even though he needs to be back in the TV series of the same name. I found out Jeremy Davies, who was in the TV version, he played a character named Richie Simpson, who is from the comics. If you watch the TV series, he was the guy, the college professor, I think, who had the Johnny Rotten painting on his wall. He's in this movie as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
This is the magic side of the DC universe. So I don't think Dr. Fate is in it, but you're going to have Zatanna and Entrigan and all the magical characters from the DC universe doing it's an R-rated animated movie. And I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it because it looks really cool.
I am as well. I was about to say the worst DC animated film I've seen, and then I stopped because I can't really identify one as being worse. I mean, it would be more along the lines of the least wonderful to watch, because seriously, everyone I've seen has been really good, and some of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess the least wonderful to watch would be the one that they just recently released, the Caped Crusaders, Return of the Caped Crusaders, the one which is based on the Adam West, Burt Ward, 1966 Batman TV show. And it's fun, but the tone is a little weird because they're trying to mix in the more adult nature of the DC animated universe, which is much more adult than their in a good way, as in a sensible, things make sense, and an adult wrote the damn script compared to most of their movies that Warner's put out. So it doesn't really kind of match because the tone's kind of jumpy because they're trying to be campy and at the same time they're trying to be gritty, and to me it doesn't quite work, but it's definitely worth watching. And again, it's worth watching, and that's the least of their efforts. I mean, some of their shows are just fantastic. You know, going way back to Mask of the Phantasm. How old is that? That's like, what, 20 years old?
Wow.
Isn't it? I mean,
that is, and if it's not 20, it's coming close.
Yeah, and it's a terrific Batman movie. You know, that if that had not been animated, if that had been live action and had the right cast, Mr. Keaton, you know, what are we talking about? 500 million? Easy. Because it's a great story.
Easy.
It's a great story.
Easy.
And that's their animated things. Flash Paradox. Flashpoint Paradox. Man, that's fantastic. That's what the
that
Justice
really
League
good.
Movie should be. I mean, that thing is awesome. That's just a wonderful, wonderful movie. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to Justice League Dark. It is weird that Fate's not in it, but because that's kind of one of their highlight magic characters. But, and it does.
Well, actually, if you did you watch the Constantine TV series?
I didn't catch all of it. I watched.
Talk about that.
And I know Fate. Didn't Fate disappear in it?
Well, Dr. Fate was kind of in the pilot episode. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the character, Dr. Fate is, think Dr. Strange in the DC universe, only with a big yellow helmet.
Much
whoever
better
wears the helmet. Well, that too. Whoever wears the helmet becomes Dr. Fate, and the helmet will possess you, and you can't take it off. And that there's a whole bunch of backstory that goes with it. The helmet was in the first episode when Constantine is showing around his new companion in his kind of TARDIS-like headquarters place. She's looking at all this stuff and picks up the helmet and goes, "What's this?" and starts to put it on. And he's like, no, don't do that, and put it down. And that's the last we see of it. But it's there. So cameo, as far as I'm concerned. Continuing with
definitely.
The yes, no, maybe definitely. Thing. We got to go to the no's now, of which, and I miscounted, there's three no's this week.
Yay.
Because I ran my notes here. And the first no is that they announced during the upcoming X-Men TV series, I hate saying that word plurally because there isn't really a good way of saying it. you can't make it. Oh, Siri. No, that's the Apple voice person. they decided that they are going to have the Sentinels in it, but it's going to be the Sentinels in a way you've never seen them before. Oh, you mean like every thing else in the X-Men stuff you've created?
Yeah, really? Why?
Can't follow the books. Oh, no. Oh, no, follow books. Because that would make sense. I mean,
right.
Why follow the source material that made it popular in the first place? No, make up your own crap to go with it. And, of course, it's owned by Fox, which backed Trump,
Fox,
who's making up his own facts. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I got political. Meanwhile, back at the movies.
Well, that's what they are. They're alternative Sentinels.
Oh, that's what, yeah, that doesn't work. Now, this is a no that it's a sad no. Because I found out that I think something has gone horribly wrong with Patrick Stewart. I'm under the impression that he has lost all of his Star Trek money, all of his X-Men money, because he's in the Emoji Movie.
Mm.
And he's voicing the poop emoji. And so I'm going to start a Kickstarter campaign to get Patrick Stewart some money, because apparently he's broke. He'd have to be doing this. I mean, I've already seen what little trailer there is of it. So you don't have to. If you get the opportunity, pass. Because the Emoji Movie, to me, is just a continuation of the dumbing down of American society. Or society, the planetary society, because this isn't just aired in the States. It looks stupid. And there's no excuse for that.
You know, at this, we have reached the point where there is nothing they will not make a film of. Something I came across, and I don't know if this is one of your no's. Like, this is what I was talking about when we were speaking before the show started, that if you had seen this, I would have heard you scream. And not through the internet. They're making a film based on the Lisa Frank Trapper Keepers characters. The brightly colored.
I don't even know what that is. You have lost me entirely. What is a Lisa Frank? I remember Trapper Keepers were like the
Trapper
big notebook thing in the 80s.
The super bright colored, not quite psychedelic, but very pop art and very stylized rainbows and unicorns and Pegasi,
uh-huh.
and they're very, very popular with young girls. Lisa Frank, and that's all they were. They were just illustrations. There's no storyline. There's no comic. They're making
right.
a movie based on the Lisa Frank characters. So we have
uh-huh.
movies coming out based on emoji illustrations for a child's notebook. So this is where we're at. So. That's my oh god hell no
I'm,
for right now. On to your next no.
My other no this week comes from TV Land, by which I mean the actual network TV Land,
mm-hmm.
where they are remaking the movie Heathers as a TV series. Now the differences are. The Heathers in the original movie were three snotty bitches, really. There's not another really apt description. Who ruled the school through popularity. Well, in this TV series, the Heathers are the geeks who have somehow taken over the school, which is the exact, you know, the opposite way of the way the movie went. And I know there's a lot of weird stuff going on in society, and this is weird in my head. One of the Heathers is a guy. They showed a picture of it this week, and it went, hang on a minute, that's a dude. So I know they like doing a gender change thing, but if they're changing a Heather into, what, a Heath? I guess. I don't know. I'm not getting this because it's. Do you get
this? Yeah. No, and that's actually the series that I could not think of. that I'd seen earlier. And because, again, it fits the pattern of it wasn't a hugely successful movie, but a lot of people know it. And that's the series.
It got a cult following that was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the original film was great. I don't really get the concept of, so the geeks have taken over the high school, and is that a bad thing?
I wouldn't think so, but what do I know?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. So I'm not quite sure what the approach of this is, because, yeah, I understand the whole thought of, oh, well, let's turn it on its head, let's have a different take on it. But the whole approach was that these snotty bitches, as you put it, and that's really the best way to put it, they were ruling the roost, and so one Heather saw the injustice of it and decided to do something about it, and things got out of hand. So it was a nice little moral lesson, plus it was a lot of killing and stuff, which was fun in a very, very dark way. So, yeah, I'm not really – I don't get the where they're going with this, and I would be worth watching the first episode to see where they're going, because maybe it'll be good, but I really don't see how this works other than just take concept,
stand concept on head, spin concept around a few times, and that'll do it, because that'll be fun. They think, me think, we thinks. going out on a limb and saying that either I or Todd have disappeared from the show again, because we live in the Southeast where they're having lots of thunderstorms and whatnot, and wow. So one of those things. The kinda I had this week, and I'll go ahead and get to that. I saw the trailer for the forthcoming Power Rangers movie. And I'm putting this in the kinda category. I wasn't a fan of the Power Rangers the first time around because I had graduated from high school already. Power Rangers weren't my thing. But if you want to make a movie, you know what? Go ahead. Now, I looked at the trailer, and it doesn't really look like it's going to be that bad a movie. Good special effects. I don't know any of the cast, so I can't tell you anything about that. But what I'm thinking is, instead of calling it the Power Rangers movie, and what I assume is going to be annoying the crap out of the people who have already, who are your fan base already, by taking it and turning it on its head and spinning it around and whatever. Instead of doing that, just make that movie, make a storyline to go with it, and radical concept, just give it a different name. Call it something else. Make something new out of it. And when people say, but that looks like the Power Rangers, you can say, why, yes. Yes, it does. We were going to call it the Power Rangers, but we decided to make it something else. So tell your Power Ranger fan base, hey, you're probably going to like this. But at the same time, call it something else so you'll bring in new people. And we can at least pretend to get something new, because there's a lot of stuff that's coming that isn't new. And boy, do we need new. We need new. New is good. Usually. Sometimes. I mean, yeah, we will occasionally get, you know, something new, and we look at it and go, okay, that was crap. But, you know, at least it's different. I guess the Emoji Movie is new, but we can already tell that's going to be crap, even though Patrick Stewart will be voicing that crap. I don't understand. Message from Todd. My laptop is dead. I'll be back in a minute. So he's working on it. Okay. In the meantime, let's get on to, where do we want to go next? How about a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, known as wherever Disney is making the Star Wars movies. One of the things that we all heard in the original 1977 Star Wars movie was in the scene where C-3PO and Chewbacca are playing a really weird version of chess. And, or actually, I guess it was R2-D2. And C-3PO tells R2, hey, let the Wookiee win, because Han Solo has just warned them about how Wookiees like to rip people's arms out. But we never get to see that, because that would be kind of a violent thing to show in a Star Wars movie. Although, not really, because we see someone's arm get cut off, 10 minutes before that in a cantina scene. So, digressing from that, there is a scene that was released this week that came from The Force Awakens, having to do with Chewbacca ripping someone's arm off. The character that Rey escaped from at the beginning of the movie, voiced by Simon Pegg, the character is apparently called Unkar Plut, or Plut, I'm not sure which. I never heard his name said in the movie, and there we go. But he pops up later at the, Maz's castle. You know the scene where Rey finds the lightsaber. But before that, she comes across Unkar Plut, who gets into an argument with her. Chewbacca intervenes and rips his arm off. Now, that sounds very violent and disgusting and everything, and yet it isn't, because it was a CG character. So it's really not that bad, and we finally get the unhappy Wookiee scene. And it probably made Simon Pegg ecstatic, because he's a really big Star Wars fan, and he got to be the first person to have his arm ripped off by a Wookiee, which may or may not be a big thing for him. It had to be, because, you know, big fan, and you get to do a first in a big series like that. So, yeah. Another big series that had some news this week comes from the world of Star Trek. Yes, I know it comes first alphabetically, but, you know, we're making our way through the notes this week. By myself, because Todd has disappeared. If anyone has seen Todd, please contact the station. Star Trek had a lawsuit with some people who are creating something called Star Trek Axanar, which is a fan-made movie. Now, there have been a lot of Star Trek fan-made movies, and almost a fan-made TV series, really. Now, I don't know what the original fuss was over Axanar, apart from maybe the crowdfunding sites, because they wanted to get money so they could make this story that was based on something that was said in the original TV series, and they wanted to make it look good. So they started a crowdfunding thing, and that's where Paramount and CBS stepped in and went, if you're going to make it, you must use your own money. You cannot solicit money from other people. That's like getting advertisers, then you'll make money, and that's something we can't allow. Well, this was settled out of court, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of political issues that go along with this, but there is now a guideline for fan films that has been distributed by CBS and Paramount that the Anaxar people will be compliant with. That's the short form, because it actually kind of scared the crap out of the people who have already been making Star Trek movies. Among the people. Oh, hey, is that you? Are you back?
That's me. I am back. My laptop decided to crash. So, yeah, catching the very end of what you said, and I know you're talking about the, I don't really know if you would call them a fan film, because they look wonderful, but the unauthorized Star Trek films, which now are okay.
The Star Trek New Voyages series got to be very popular. They started making the concept for New Voyages was, since Star Trek, the original series, are 5-year mission, but they only did 3, they wanted to do years 4 and 5. So they started making their own, completely recast everything, but they did such a good job of it, they ended up actually getting original series actors to come in and play, you know, either the roles they had before or new roles. They ended up doing a movie, and the name of which has escaped me entirely, but it had the characters of actually the actors who played Tuvok and Jake Sisko and Neelix, and I think Dr. Phlox was in it, and Sulu and Chekhov and Alan Ruck, who was actually an actor and not the character's name, because the character's name has warped away. But all of them are in this playing new characters. And that's how big they got. If you get a chance to look up Star Trek New Voyages, they're on YouTube. And so, you know, it's a free thing. They're not making money on this, although I think they should be, because the way they put these together was excellent, including something I sent Todd earlier this week. And I want to get, since you're back, I'll get your opinion of the different warp perspective. It was one of the first things you see in the first episode called Come What May, where usually in Star Trek you see a ship warp off and we are at a fixed point watching the ship warp away from us. In this scene, we're seeing the Enterprise warp away from a space station, but instead of staying with the space station and watching the Enterprise go off that way, we stay with the Enterprise and watch everything else fade away into the background. It was a subtle difference that we haven't seen in Star Trek before. And I liked it. What did you think of that?
I liked it a lot. I thought it, like you said, that's a very interesting flip on that whole concept, because we're always used to, like you said, we see them going away. And now all of a sudden it's a very different,
it's everything else.
It's a very different look. So it's very cool. I like it. Cool. Like it quite a bit.
It's what, less than 2 minutes into whichever version of it you find, because I'm looking at YouTube and there's about eight different places you can find it, all with different times, which is very odd. But yeah, it's right at the beginning of the show. And yes, the cast is different. Yes, they did give Captain Kirk some pretty bad hair. Although I hear that's the guy's real hair. I wouldn't know. I've never met him. But if you get the opportunity, the new Voyages are actually really good.
And I will get that opportunity at some point this week.
Well, you know, take your time. I'm still trying to get Luke Cage out of the way.
Oh, well, in that case, no. I got 2 weeks.
You've got plenty of time. Yeah, I know.
That's so last week.
That's last year.
Yeah, I know.
But it is a good segue into the superhero news, of
it
which
is.
There is a lot of it this week, really.
There's abundance.
The Inhumans, which is another Marvel TV series. They're starting to film it. Starting to film it in March. They're supposed to come out with it on September 26th. Although, if you want to watch the first two episodes, which are really going to be a part one and part two, they will be premiering in IMAX theaters on September 1st.
It's pretty interesting.
It's my understanding that no, Vin Diesel is not playing Black Bolt, which he had been rumored to be playing for ever.
Which is sad, because he would be cool. But as we had discussed on the show, and you brought up the point, what's the most distinctive thing about Vin Diesel? It's his voice. What's the one thing about Black Bolt? You don't hear his voice. So it was kind of an odd casting thing. Right. So, because you'll be dead if you do.
Exactly. Someone else who's been cast as a character and been stuck in limbo forever is The Rock.
Yes.
Who was cast like 5 million years ago as Black Adam in the... It's hard to tell whether he's going to be Captain Marvel or Shazam.
Here's an odd thing about that. He was cast as Black Adam 6 months before the character was created. That's how long he's been cast as Black Adam.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns, who is in charge of DC Comics, has said that there is very likely going to be a Black Adam solo movie before there is a Shazam movie.
Which is weird. Which is really weird.
Well, it's kind of like having a Joker movie before a Batman movie comes out. That's the kind of direction they're headed with this.
Exactly.
And that's a bit odd.
It is odd, but I can see it making sense in a weird way in this, because of this, because when The Rock has been talking about it, and he's talked about it a lot, he has constantly played up Black Adam as this anti-hero, this guy who's misunderstood. And he doesn't mean like, well, he's a villain, but he's the hero of his own story. He means like he's an anti-hero, which Black Adam has been in some plot lines, but he's never been a straight up hero. And I think the fact that, well, for one thing, Shazam, Captain Marvel, whatever, Billy Banks and what Batson, whatever you want to call him, he's not been in any of the films anyway. He's been in the animated films, of course, but not in any of the legitimate filmed versions, if you want to call it that. He's not been in the crappier versions of the DC characters, put it that way. So it almost makes sense because you got this big star attached and you know he's going to hype the hell of it and promote it. And the fact that he's not Batman, Shazam is not Batman. He's definitely a second or third tier character in the DC universe. So,
well, he is now. Back in the 40s, he was enormous,
right.
But
exactly.
You know.
But in today's universe, he's not that well known a character. So you can almost get away with, well, we're gonna do. It's almost as if Marvel had decided to do a Yellow Jacket movie instead of an Ant-Man movie. Not quite the same thing, but. You know, if you had a high-profile actor who, man, I got to play Yellow Jacket. This is going to be awesome. And, of course, you would have to go with the whole thing of how they retconned Yellow Jacket. Or now he's a different guy, because it would have been really interesting if I would much prefer. That's one thing I did not like about the Ant-Man film. Very brief segue. I did not like the fact, to me, Yellow Jacket should have been Hank Pym. That would have been very cool. But that's a totally different thing. So I can kind of see where they're going with doing a Black Adam movie first and making him this. Hopefully they make him at least an anti-hero. They don't bow down and decide to, because of just their, and not bowing down to The Rock, but bowing down to what they see as the public's perception of The Rock and making him too much of a good guy, like they did with a certain character played by a certain actor in Suicide Squad. Instead of just making him a straight up villain, he's got to have a heart of gold. People got to like him because he's Will Smith. It's like, don't freaking do that. You know, play the character right. Don't make him a Black Adam. Make him something else if you're not going to make the character correctly. So I can see them doing that for those reasons, but yes.
Speaking of not making a character correctly and DC Comics, they announced a short list this week of people rumored to be playing Hal Jordan in the forthcoming Green Lantern Corps movie.
Yes.
Now, the short list includes Tom Cruise, Joel McHale, Bradley Cooper, Armie Hammer, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Ryan Reynolds. Now, the best comments I saw on this is a comment and a follow-up. The comment was, Ryan, who should it be? The answer was Ryan Reynolds, of course. Didn't anyone at DC watch Deadpool? The reply was, are you kidding? They didn't even watch Green Lantern.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
When that list came out, Ryan Reynolds is like, do you want to remind people of that piece of crap that you guys put out, which had nothing to do with Ryan Reynolds? He was just this guy stuck in it.
It's not his fault.
But Armie Hammer, really? Do you want this guy to kill another freaking movie franchise? No, the guy's not a lead. Sorry. He's a good actor, but he can't. Let's see. Lone Ranger, trash. The Man from U.N.C.L.E., trash. Yeah, let's go ahead and kill the Green Lantern twice by casting Armie Hammer. Is it? No, don't put Armie Hammer as the lead. Don't be freaking stupid. And I'm sorry.
Bradley Cooper.
But McHale? What?
I'm not even sure I know who Joel McHale is. I'm looking him up.
Joel McHale is the snarky guy who used to do Talk Soup, and now he's in, I believe, Community. And because, you know, he can do the wisecracking of Green Lantern. It's like, yeah, so can a lot of people. Like, and maybe he would be able to pull it off. I don't know. Maybe. But you've got to be kidding me. How does Armie Hammer and Joel McHale match up for you? That's completely bizarre to me.
On appearance, Jake Gyllenhaal can do it.
I would like to see Jake Gyllenhaal do it.
You know, just on appearance. Tom Cruise might be a bit short.
I'm sorry, Jake Gyllenhaal.
You can put him on a box.
Tom Cruise will have to be on two boxes to play Green Lantern, because he's going to be up again. He's going to be standing next to the guys who are playing Batman and Superman at some point, and they're going to have to put him on two boxes. So, again, Tom Cruise as Wolverine, that would have worked, because he does have the right height.
You know,
almost,
you know, with all the recasting.
Why not?
Don't give him any ideas.
No, please. I don't want to see him as that.
The other
jerk.
Bit of superhero news I got this week makes no sense to me. NBC and Sony Pictures are allegedly developing a Witchblade TV series. Now, the reason this doesn't make sense, and this goes all the way back to what I started off the show with, the UFO thing, no, not the UFO thing, the Justice League Dark thing, because NBC is where Constantine's TV series was, and you guys couldn't keep that.
Right.
What makes you think you're going to be able to remake, because there's already been a Witchblade TV series, and frankly, I didn't care for it. What makes you think you're going to be able to keep this going? Seriously.
Doesn't make a lot of sense at all.
I don't understand. If you're going to want a TV series like this, bring Constantine back. No, or something.
That might make too much sense.
Oh, silly me, silly me. Of course, this being, like I said, they're remaking this TV series. And speaking of remakes, I want to see what your opinion on this is. They're remaking a movie. A guy named Kenya Barris, who created Black-ish.
Yes.
Yeah, he's recreating White Men Can't Jump, which
okay.
I remember seeing the movie and frankly falling asleep during it because I didn't think it was it wasn't my thing. Apparently, a lot of people I understand liked it. A lot of people are probably going to like the Emoji Movie too, and I don't see where that's going to come in. Not that I'm directly comparing White Men Can't Jump to the Emoji Movie. Why? Why are what purpose could this possibly serve?
Because they already have the basics of a script. They have recognition of the property. I mean, it's why they're doing a Heather's TV show. It's why they're doing Witchblade. I mean, it's why they do so many things that they do, because it's much easier to do something again than to do something original. And it's yuck. You know?
Well, let's end this whole remake thing on a positive note, maybe, potentially, possibly. In 2019, which, frankly, is 2 years from now, James Cameron is going to regain the rights to the Terminator franchise. And he has said that he wants to finish the franchise in one movie.
Thank God.
No more
God.
Terminator movies. Dun, 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 done.
Thank God.
I'm considering that to be good news. How about you?
I consider it to be very good news, although really the only way he can finish it is to destroy the Earth and all the people, because otherwise how are you going to get out of the time travel conundrum which they've created? So, yeah, please finish it. And I like the fact that Cameron's going to be the one to do it, because, frankly, he's the one who actually did the two that were decent and not the three. Have there been three that sucked? Yeah, there have been three versions that sucked at various levels of suckitude. So, yeah, by all means.
The last one had some good action sequences, but as a movie,
yeah, exactly.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah, exactly. All three, Terminator 3 and Terminator Salvation and Genesis, however you want to pronounce it, they all have their good points. But compared to the first and Terminator 2, they suck. So I'm glad to see Cameron back in there, and especially saying, I'm not going to pad this out and turn it into a franchise, Avatar. I'm just going to finish the story. So nice. I'm very happy to see that. I'm shocked to see that, actually, considering what he's doing in Avatar. But yeah, it's very cool.
You know, it, as long as it doesn't turn into a Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah.
Which I have playing in the background now. It's all nice and muted. The way a Mortal Kombat movie should be. Where you can look at the action sequences and go, good action sequences that need no sound.
Ooh, how cool.
That's actually my segue to something we were talking about before the show, though.
Yes.
About the El Rey Network.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat into this.
Expound.
Because some people, some networks have themed nights where you have like your Manic Monday and your Freaky Friday and your Wonky Wednesday. The El Rey Network has something a little different. We were talking about this before the show, and I think this is a spectacular name, and I have to read it because I can't remember all of it at once. Cause,
it is spectacular.
You know, it's a thing. It is called the Flying Five-Finger, One-Armed, Eight-Pole Shaolin Exploding Death Touch Thursdays, which is a spectacular name.
Not partly spectacular.
Completely. Where they show old martial arts movies, like The Flying Guillotine, which frankly is a very strange movie, and you may have seen it on Mythbusters.
Master of the Flying Guillotine, which is a wonderful film. Love that movie.
Yes. Executioners from Shaolin and Mad Monkey Kung Fu. I mean, the old... But the one that gets me, and they show this one periodically, usually about the same time that one of the Fox channels will show the Avengers movie. And then I'm channel surfing, and I get around to the El Rey Network, and it's Thursday night, and they're showing an old martial arts movie called, and I'm not making this up, The Crippled Avengers.
Yes, I've seen that twice. That's an awesome movie.
It actually is a good movie.
It is.
It has nothing to do with Tony Stark or Captain America or anything.
Nah, different. Different Avengers.
those back-to-back listings on your TV schedule. The Avengers, followed by the Crippled Avengers. You know, what the hell happened? Yeah. So that's our plug for our unsponsored plug this week. For the El Rey Network, which shows, you know, some surprisingly good stuff.
They do.
If you don't have it, contact your cable company.
Yes. And it should be on, I don't think it's on the basic tier. I think it's on the next tier up. So fork over the extra $10, because believe me, El Rey is worth it alone. Plus,
it is.
You'll probably, on the same tier, you'll probably get Turner Classic Movies, and between the two, it's like you could just watch those two channels and never watch anything else. And you would have a full...
Ta-da.
Rich life, as long as you continue to listen to us for 1 hour a week, and then your life would be complete, or it would be partly spectacular at the least. Speaking of action films, not that it's strictly an action film, but it has a lot of action, and I understand that you got around to seeing The Accountant.
I did, finally. Took me long enough. And you did a big full review of it several shows ago, but I wanted to bring this up. And I was thinking, because they're still working on the Batman movie, I'm wondering how much of The Accountant played into having Deathstroke be the bad guy of the Batman movie.
Interesting
because
thought.
Because there was a lot of parallels between, I want to say Brad Pitt, and that's not the right name, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yes.
Sorry.
If Slade Wilson anyway. was an accountant, you know.
I'm thinking the bad guy character who I'm not going to say a whole lot of about because there's a spoiler thing that goes along with him. Hint. Yep. That alone should have given it away, but he was very Deathstroke-ish, whereas Ben Affleck was kind of pulled off Batman in this movie, even though you kind of go, yeah, that's not Batman. But you can look at him and go, I can see him doing the Batman stuff now much better.
Oh, yeah.
So
So what did you think of the movie overall? But that's a great point about the Deathstroke thing. I hadn't thought about that, but that perfectly makes sense where he would see. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it fits. If you haven't seen The Accountant, go see it. Marachi, you can stay home and see it. It's available on pay-per-view now.
Yes.
I thought it was actually a really good movie. Couple little niggly plot holes that I had a problem with, but I could overlook them. They weren't as gaping as, say, Green Lantern.
yeah, they weren't.
You know, just a couple niggly bits, and other than that, it was fine. And actually, I think one of the bonuses out of this movie was it raised awareness for autism.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And there needs to be more, I guess it's a subtle embracing of a community that doesn't get a lot of attention, you know, to help it out. And I think the concept that he kept making all this money and donating it to autism foundations.
Yeah.
That was cool. I liked that.
And the final reveal at the end was wonderful. That alone is kind of worth watching.
Computer.
But yeah, exactly, with the computer. Yeah. But I mean, it's got a terrific cast. Affleck, like you said, is really good. Anna Kendrick, she's very good. J.K. Simmons, love J.K. Simmons. That's the one thing about the Spider-Man reboots. I wish, dear God, if there's a God in heaven, put him back as J. Jonah Jameson. That would be wonderful. John Bernthal, who, of course, is the Punisher in the Marvel universe on Netflix, and it's going to have his own series. He's in it. I mean, just a good John Lithgow. I mean,
John
really,
Lithgow.
Really good cast.
How can you leave John Lithgow out of this?
Yeah, really, really good cast. And as it was pointed out in a couple of, not in a snarky way, but in just a kind of an odd, this is a weird thing, but a couple of reviewers said, this is probably the first film ever made in which an autistic person is an accountant / hitman. Which is probably true.
Yeah.
There probably has not been another film, but it plays it with a lot of respect, and it does. And there are no jokes about it, and it doesn't hide the fact. It's just that's part of who he is, and that's what autism is. I mean, it's just part of who he is. And I thought it was a really good movie. Not like, oh, that was one of the top 10 movies last year, but it's certainly worth watching. IMDb, it's got a 7.4 rating out of 107,000 user ratings, so obviously the populace likes it quite a bit. Good flick.
Yep.
A very good flick, and a lot of good things. And yeah, there are a few plot holes, but there are in most movies. Definitely worth watching. And yeah, for some reason, if you don't think yet that Batfleck is a legitimate thing, yeah, definitely, because this will help you realize that, because a lot, other than the fact that he's using guns a lot, if he had a cape and cowl on, yeah, I know. That was kind of out there for you, Rob, because I knew you were going to say something about that. But the key phrase is there a lot. But yeah, a lot of it is what Batman would be doing too. So especially with the fact that he's very cerebral. So very cool movie. I like that a lot. I was glad to hear that you enjoyed it too. Although, you know, if you didn't enjoy it, then I just would say, well, we can't do the show anymore because we can have different opinions. That's how a lot of people seem to think the world works, and it isn't, obviously. So
it's not. Oh, are we going to get political again?
No. But that does lead into a movie I watched this week, which is Hidden Figures, which, if you think about it, isn't that what accountants look for? Hidden Figures, haha.
Oh, hey.
Hidden Figures, which was not Hidden Fences. I did not catch Hidden Fences, unlike one of the Bush daughters and Michael Keaton, who I still think – still, just I'm hoping that was a riff on what she said, not that he actually blew it. But Hidden Figures, of course, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know it's the story of what were called in the day computers, which were people who figured out who did the math for space launches. And this is about a group of black women who worked for NASA and follows three particular women based on true story. And I've read the differences, and basically pretty much everything you see in this movie actually happened. They just kind of compressed it for time. So some things didn't happen concurrently like they're shown here, but basically everything happened. And
what? You mean people aren't going to sit in a movie theater for 3 months while a story unfolds?
Or 3 years or 5 years. But
yeah, what?
Man, what an awesome movie. Easily one of the 10 best movies from last year for me. It's absolutely gripping. great human drama without, you know, any crazy histrionics. And it's just what people, I really hope a lot of people continue to see this movie, because there are a lot of people in this world, to be political, who need to see this movie to understand what people had to go through in the past. And some people are still going through, but completely aside from the political aspects of it, because it isn't preachy. It's just showing, hey, this happened. Man, an awesome story, just a wonderful story about people triumphing over and very, very difficult odds. Paints a very, he has a very small part in it, but John Glenn is one of the characters in the movie and paints a glowing picture of Glenn, which from what I've read on the background, the things that Glenn says and did in this, absolutely true, which is very cool. I mean, there was one point where there were problems with the launch and they said, well, the computers have figured out this is the next thing. And Glenn would not get on the spacecraft until he said, have the girl check it. Because he was in the room when she did the math to show that they could do this launch. He didn't trust the IBM computers. He wanted that young lady who did the math to do it. Otherwise, he wasn't getting in. And when she did it and verified it, he said, okay, I'm good. And you know, it's just, there are a lot of moments like that in the movie. And it's so well acted. It's such a good movie. Can't say it enough.
Wasn't this the movie
really
that knocked
Yes.
Wasn't this the movie that knocked Rogue One out of the top spot?
It was by, what, I think $800,000 that the week that it premiered. So that's pretty good. And Rogue One, of course, had been out for a while, but still, that's pretty good if you can overtake a movie like that. So I also saw a film this week called The Monster Call, The Monster Calls, which was A Monster Call, sorry. Very good. Really enjoyed that. And basically, it's something of a fantasy of a boy dealing with his mom. He's dealing with a couple things. His mom has cancer, so she's battling that, and he's dealing with that issue, and he's being bullied at school, and he's very lonely, and basically this monster shows up to maybe help him, but he's not quite sure, because after all, it's this big, huge monster, and he's very imposing, and he tells him some stories which don't make any sense to the kid, and then, of course, eventually they make perfect sense to the kid. It's a very nice, kind of sweet, but also kind of dark coming-of-age story. It's definitely not saccharine. The monster is voiced by Liam Neeson, does a great job, although I swear at some point I'm just waiting for him to say, I am Groot, but he never does. Really a good movie, though. Really enjoyed the movie. And the last thing... very, very good flick. Last thing I've seen this week is, and literally the last thing other than the football game, which didn't go the way I wanted it to, is a series of unfortunate events on Netflix, which I've only seen the first three episodes, or 8 episodes in all, and they have plenty of room to go because I believe they only cover 4 books in this. And how many books are there in the series? I think 13, something like that. So they can certainly do more. But man, this is good. This is so, so good. The producer is, and of course, as soon as I say that, I blank out on his name. But one of the executive producers is Barry Zonneveld, and he actually directs the first 2 episodes. And it's very weird and very quirky. If you've read the books or if you've heard your kids talk about the books, you know they're very dark and very strange. And the theme song literally implores you not to watch it because it's very depressing and sad, and it will ruin your day and possibly your life. It's awesome. It is just so well done and so odd and quirky. Neil Patrick Harris, not only does he star, but he's also the producer. Also has Patrick Warburton, which is great. The casting of the children is wonderful. It's so good. It's actually written. All the screenplays, all the scripts are written by Mr. Lemony Snicket himself, Daniel Handler. So they pretty much did everything right. Or they did everything they could to make it right. And so far they did. I mean, it's great. And it's certainly done for the same audience that the books were written for, that age bracket, but it's definitely enjoyable for adults. Just so, so good. So weird and creepy.
I have a question for you about one of the characters. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the cast list, and I'm going to mispronounce the last name probably, but the character of Sonny.
Sonny is a baby. Baudelaire.
Okay,
she is a baby. So two people play Sonny.
Oh, so we do not actually get to see Tara Strong play somebody, do we?
Not so far.
Okay.
And as far as I know, the answer would be no.
Now, if you don't know Tara Strong, she's actually – I've wanted to see her actually act in something because I've heard her act for a very long time, really. She's done voices of she's been in most of the DC movies.
Right.
She's been in My Little Pony. She's
The Powerpuff Girls.
Was in Princess Mononoke.
Awesome. That's right.
She's one of the big names in voice acting.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, that's what she's doing in this, too.
Okay.
So, bear with me.
She's cute, too. I'd like to see her act in something. But,
She is. And as far as I know, she doesn't have any cameos or anything. Although, I mean, it's weird because Daniel Handler, who is Lemony Snicket, he actually has a few cameos, which is pretty cool. But I mean, there's some interesting people show up in this. Joan Cusack is in the first two episodes. She's hilarious. Imagine that, Joan Cusack being hilarious. But
who knew?
Alfre Woodard is in it. Don Johnson is in it. I mean, it's just a really strange list. But the two leads, as far as children, Melina Weissman playing Violet, and Lewis Hines plays Klaus, the kids. And Sonny is a baby. So Presley Smith does a wonderful job as the baby because Presley Smith is a baby. But they're really, really good. I mean, they act like children instead of, you know, the TV shows where they have children and they act like they're 30-year-olds trapped in a 9-year-old body or whatever. God, I hate those.
Yeah.
These are kids. They're smart kids. They're precocious, but they're kids. And it's such a good show. And Neil Patrick Harris, he's having a good time, and you will too, because man, he is outrageously funny in this. And Patrick Warburton, he plays Lemony Snicket, and he'll just pop in the middle of a scene and explain things to you, like what a word means and things like that. It's, oh my God, it's so good. And he's just, of course, he's just completely deadpan. Really, really good show. Good.
Looking forward to seeing this because I frankly I wasn't into the books because my girls had already been into Harry Potter, and they claimed they were only into the Twilight stuff for about a week, but that's
not. My daughter just inhaled those books, the Series of Unfortunate Events books, and just loved them. And when the film came out, she was less than pleased.
Heartbroken.
Yes, because she said it was a piece of total trash. Actually, she used a different word, which I think is a common word used in place of excrement, is what she said. So
I believe my middle daughter used the same thing for Miss Peregrine. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the Netflix series is really good. Good stuff. Very fun.
Wait a minute. Did you just say that people should actually follow the books when creating stuff instead of going off on their own and creating sentinels that make no sense? Or
imagine that.
Wow.
Fox,
remember,
take a note.
Folks, Patrick Stewart needs your money, so go rent an X-Men movie.
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed. You know, next week I'll bring up Barry Zonneville reminded me of another TV series he did, and I will talk about that next week, which is one of my favorite TV episodes, not episodes, a TV series ever. But that's for next week. That's not for this week because there's not enough time for it.
Well,
so
what
there.
Else do you have coming up this week?
Coming up this week?
Segway. Mm. Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
What does the Happy Hour Network have?
The Happy Hour Network has, as far as I know, there still will be a Seahawks show on Tuesdays, and there will, of course, be Late Night Parents, because it's always late night for parents, and that's on Wednesdays with Ted Hicks. And Thursday is the NBA show, and Friday is Ernest Lee Speaking. And then there are various podcasts, sir.
Are they really?
I believe.
This week, Two Pages of Mystery, coming out Wednesday. Kind of an anniversary episode. You know, it's the 25th. So I got my three main detectives, Lieutenant Cooper Wright, Hunter Green Black, and Aidan O'Connor are teaming up to stop a serial arsonist in a story called Matchbook. So check that out on twopagesofmystery.com. It's kind of a fun one. It's a bit longer than usual, but you'll get over it because it's fun. And I get to make fun of TV cops.
Nice.
Listen to the story. It'll make sense. And you'll go, oh, that's a good point. I'll make sure to email him a story because that's what I'm looking for on it, is people to email me stories. I'll turn them into audiobooks for the show because I want to get more people interested in writing stories so we can have more interesting things on this show as well, instead of just, oh, look, they made another fill-in-the-blank movie.
Yeah, really?
And that's almost what they are now, is fill-in-the-blank movies.
Too many of them.
Yes.
That is for sure. So we will try to continue to direct you to the ones that aren't.
Ta-da! Mission accomplished. So I think that's all we have for this week. Do you have anything for this week? Anything else for this week?
That is it for,
any weeks for this else?
Myself, other than time to say bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ariel, Ula,
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for tonight.
Man, that's a real shame when folks be throwing away a perfectly good white boy like that.
Ropes? Where we're going, we don't need ropes.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
And like that, he's gone.
I said, come back tomorrow!
If you own a small business, it's not a question of if some hacker is going to attempt to attack your company. It's a question of when. Let cyberpolicy.com keep you safe. CyberPolicy is the first end-to-end solution that combines cyber planning, security, and insurance. With CyberPolicy, your business will be protected against cyber attacks for as little as 40 cents a day. Visit cyberpolicy.com today and get a quote in just 4 minutes. CyberPolicy.com.